got a book out that Tom Ashcraft put me on to a few weeks ago. Tom Ashcraft, former U.S. attorney, Reagan era, Reagan administration era U.S. attorney, and local, mostly actual, what I call actual conservative, who's usually trying to rattle people around here, sent me some notes on this. Tom Pawkin. Book is called Bringing America Home, and it's how did the Republican Party become what it is today, and where is it headed? What went wrong? As he believes something did go wrong, which I think a lot of people have thought that. But, of course, now, with help from Obama and the people in Washington, I don't know if the Republican Party is finding its way back right, but at least it's got something to stand on and climb on and rally and rail against. Tom Pawkin is on the telephone with us now. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Keith. Good to be with you this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Welcome to News Talk 1110 WBT.
I got a kick out of your regularly tracking down the Democratic candidate for the Senate in South Carolina,
I
heard you say.
Well, we've talked with Alvin several times, and it's always an interesting conversation. I guess that's
Jim DeMint does not have to worry too much about his reelection in November, I suspect.
Jim DeMint is like a guy named Larry Kissel in a congressional race up here, too. Jim DeMint and Larry Kissel are the quietest guys on the planet right now. All they've got to do is just sit there and be quiet, and everything will be fine. I don't want to, you know, like read a lengthy bio of you here, but to establish a little bit of where you're coming from, the reviews of this that I've read, people describe you as a longtime conservative and activist. You were a military intelligence officer in Vietnam. You served in the Reagan administration. You headed up the agency that is now known as AmeriCorps. At that time, it was called Action, and you worked to streamline and reduce it. You are from and went back to Texas. You were the head of the Texas Republican Party, I guess overlapping with some of the Governor Bush time there, and you have been appointed by Governor Perry in the modern moment and are serving as the chairman of the Texas Workforce Commission. Is this all correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I really started as a young Texan in Washington, D.C. in the Goldwater campaign, in the Goldwater for President campaign, and then later served as national chairman of the College Republicans before going into the Army and later serving in Vietnam. So, yeah, I've been involved for a very long time, and it was very difficult for me to watch as one who was part of the Reagan movement to see in the post-Reagan period of Republican politics, particularly in the last 8 years of the George W. Bush administration, they squandered the political capital that Goldwater Reagan conservatives had taken more than three decades to build up and literally set us up for the most liberal regime in American history to come to power.
You blame not only Bush, George W., but George H.W. Bush first,
right,
in coming out of the Reagan administration, and so you sort of track it back to there, this series of curves that led Republicanism, whatever it is, to where it is today. There was sort of a purging of actual conservatism and actual conservatives when George H.W. Bush became president.
Literally, that happened. I left the Reagan administration after the first term, but I would get calls from Reagan Republicans who had worked for George Herbert Walker Bush in the 1988 campaign and wanted to stay on in the Bush administration, and literally they were ushered out the door because they did not support George Herbert Walker Bush in 1980 when he ran against Ronald Reagan. So the irony is Ronald Reagan, the supposedly right-wing conservative president, was much more open to bringing in people from the more moderate or liberal wing of the Republican Party than was George Herbert Walker Bush with respect to the Reagan conservatives who were purged during his time. And in George W. Bush's administration, I can't name one Reagan conservative in a key position throughout his administration, throughout the 8 years. There were a lot of people who who were Bush Republicans or, you know, Goldman Sachs kind of ex-Goldman Sachs guys, but not really any Reagan conservatives.
You know, now if you talk about the big spending, if you talk about the federalizing of education and campaign finance and prescription drugs, now if you raise questions about Iraq and the foreign policy and the neoconism, in the last 12 or 18 or so months, it became kind of okay to do that, or even the thing of the day or the thing of the moment to sort of, from Republicans and people who were Bush supporters, to do that as a part of saying, okay, but we still don't want Barack Obama. But why? And so that's valid to a point. But for the longest time during the 8 years of the Bush administration, anyone who did, and I know because we did, if you asked those questions at that time, if you challenged that brand of alleged conservatism or Republicanism at that time, there was such a shouting. It was as though you were taking on a deity or God. You were just shouted down. Why was that?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I felt it too. I remember when George W. Bush first got elected. I was state Republican chairman when he was governor, and I did not see any evidence, I mean, that this was going to be a conservative administration. In fact, Karl Rove, his political guru, who fought Ronald Reagan, who was a Nixon Republican at best, a very Machiavellian, effective political operative, but no philosophical conservative, here is a guy who is going to not only be the political operative, but help run policy in the Bush administration. And I thought that was a prescription for trouble. But to say that, you got yourself viewed as some kind of heretic. And the sad thing was that there were too few of us willing to do that. I have a chapter in my book, Bringing America Home, called Big Government Conservatism is an Oxymoron. And people tend to forget that in the Bush administration, they literally bragged that they were reinventing conservatism, and they proudly called it big government conservatism, which I view as nothing more than Rockefeller Republicanism or a watered-down version of big government liberalism. You talked about education earlier. We doubled spending during the 8 Bush years on education spending with his No Child Left Behind legislation that he passed in conjunction with Senator Ted Kennedy, increased federal mandates with less to show for it. And it's very opposite of what we were trying to do in the Reagan administration, which was to return power wherever possible, particularly in the field of education, to the states and local communities, and as much as possible dismantle the Department of Education and the mandates coming from Washington, D.C. They doubled the budget. Department of Education, my little agency, where I'd cut spending by 25%, cut the bureaucracy in half, and our motto was doing more with less. I left in 1985. At the end of the Bush administration, the budget for that agency, then called AmeriCorps, was 8 times what it was when I left. I mean, it was spending out of control even under the Republicans.
The big government conservatism, we used to have such fun with that and wrestle with that. And one of the real marketing geniuses to help with that phrase specifically is Fred Barnes. And, man, we wrestled Fred here in this studio over that and over the phone so many times. I mean, what a joke. Big government conservatism. I want to ask you about the foreign policy aspect of this, and then also talk about what's coming next. Tom Paulkin is on the phone with us here, and his book is Bringing America Home.
Larson.
All right, just a few more minutes with Tom Paulkin, who served in the Reagan administration. He was the chairman of the Republican Party in Texas in the George W. Bush years. He is now an appointee of the current governor, Rick Perry, heads the Texas Workforce Commission, and his book is called Bringing America Home, and it's about how America lost her way and how she can be made to find her way back. On the matter, I've just got 3 or 4 minutes, Tom, and I want to ask you about 2 things.
Right.
In a second, I want to ask about where the Republican Party theoretically would go from here, but On the foreign policy, let me just read you this email that came in while you and I were talking and get you to react to it. This will sort of sum it up. Kay Larson at WBT.com. Keith, it sounds like the title of this book, Bringing America Home, should apply to the neocon foreign policy that has wrecked the Republican Party and the country. Bringing the party home will only occur if we bring the troops home first. React to that.
Well, Ronald Reagan believed in sending young men and women abroad only when the national interest was involved, the mission was clear, and we had an exit strategy. People tend to forget that Ronald Reagan said, as I point out in my book, his biggest mistake was when he sent the Marines in to Lebanon over the objections of Cap Weinberger and the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I go into great length and explanation of what happened then. I think we were right to go after the Taliban and Al-Qaeda after 9/11, but I was very much opposed to the idea that we could use military force to impose democracy on the Middle East, which is the litmus test for the neoconservatives, who really are not philosophical conservatives at all, but former Hubert Humphrey, Scoop Jackson Democrats who have morphed into the Republican Party, but whose primary interest is waging war in the Middle East. And I think we've got to go back to the Reagan approach to deal with the threat of radical Islam. And as quickly as possible, I do believe that we need to move American troops out of the Middle East and work with surrogates in dealing with what I do believe is a very serious threat, the threat of radical Islam. But I think it was a huge mistake for George W. Bush to allow Dick Cheney, in effect, to become de facto president of foreign policy, and Paul Wolfowitz et al., all of whom are my age, but none of whom served in Vietnam, to dictate foreign policy in his first term. And unfortunately, I think they didn't consider, partly because they never served, the law of unintended consequences when you send American troops overseas.
Yeah, or George W. didn't listen to the words of his dad on the matter of occupying Iraq, even. And I think H.W. Bush can be thwacked on a lot of fronts, but at least he knew he didn't want to stay in Iraq.
Right. He didn't. He ignored his father. He ignored General Powell, Richard Armitage, and Laurie Wilkerson, the number one, two, and three guys at State, the only guys in his administration that had had any experience in Vietnam. Ignored General Scowcroft on this issue. Ignored General Zinni. Ignored the man who led the first Iraq war, who warned against a preemptive war against the bloody secular dictator Saddam Hussein, who's a very bad guy. But the question is, did that war make sense in terms of our long-term strategic interests?
Just real quickly, Tom, who or what, where does the Republican Party go now? Again, up against the backdrop of Obama and this kind of leftism, even socialism, it's sort of easy to stand and say we're not that. But
Things. I'm encouraged by the grassroots movement coming from the bottom up, which was the strength of the Goldwater and the Reagan campaigns in the past, the Tea Party movement. A lot of good people are emerging out of that, and that's a positive sign. The danger is we simply put the Bush retreads back in power if we win in 2012, and they don't even understand they didn't get it right the first time, and I have no reason to believe they're not even apologetic for what they did or for the mistakes or the havoc they wrecked. And so I don't believe they're going to get it right the second time. So those are the two ingredients. We've got to put the Reagan coalition of economic and social conservatives back together, go back to building from the grassroots up, and that's starting to happen. Even in our state, we had some real problems. But a recent election of a Reagan guy to come to power, first guy since I was elected in 1994 as state chairman, the grassroots up. So we're beginning to see evidence of that across the nation, and that's a positive sign. And hopefully my book, Bringing America Home, How America Lost Her Way and How We Can Find Our Way, will lay out a blueprint for solutions to the most serious problems I've seen in my lifetime that face our nation today. And we as conservatives who oppose what's going on have got to offer a vision and an opportunity and hope based on conservative principles to get this country back on the right track. And we can do it if we just have the opportunity.
And we have the book linked up to the Larson page at WBT.com. Tom Paukin, thanks.
Thank you, Keith.